Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend to you, Frank Rush, with another edition of Focus on Community. It's good to have you along and listening today. And our special guest this weekend, Dr. Rob Hayworth, who's the superintendent of the Vigo County School Corporation. Dr. Hayworth, how you doing today?
Well, Frank, we're doing fine. Rainy morning, but that's kind of the usual for us. But we appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, as we record this, it did. It stormed and poured this morning. And, wow, yeah, we've had quite a bit of rain this spring. Hey, as we talk to you now, you're getting close to your first one-year full year in as superintendent of Vigo County Schools. So with that said, tell us about what you're most proud of so far. I mean, you've only been at this for a few months, but what are you most proud of so far? And what's been the biggest surprise that you've run into?
Yeah, those are great questions. First, just from a personal standpoint, my family, we just appreciate the welcome that we've received over this first year. Probably some of our greatest concerns were family-related as we were transitioning our son, an eighth grader, coming into his freshman year, and that's gone exceptionally well. From a school standpoint, we've tried not to make it a year of change, but rather a year of listening, and probably our ability to stay on task with that and not be reactive, but rather just trying to compile as much information as we possibly could. I would say that's where we've spent our year. But proud of our team here in the district that have been able to help the new guy navigate our school corporation. We just have some fantastic employees that make our operation work each and every day. And just to get to know them has been a pleasure.
So what do you think, what's your biggest surprise been in the short time you've been here?
Well, probably, we have a significant cash balance. But over the course of the last 2 years, we have eaten into that cash balance significantly. So to come in and try to figure out what that approach is going to be to those leakages out of our cash balance has probably been the greatest surprise. You know, things that weren't surprising to us was the academic focus that this district has. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to come here as a family and me personally as the superintendent. The focus on rigor, the focus of helping all children succeed, that was not a surprise to us. The quality of people from everything we had heard in regards to leadership throughout the district, we were pleased to come here and find that those things were true and accurate. But probably the greatest surprise was looking at that cash balance and figuring out what some approaches to that might be.
So with that said, before we actually started the show here, you and I talked a few minutes before we started recording. And of course, it's no surprise. A lot of people that have been paying attention to the news realize we're spending some of that balance, and we're into deficit spending now. So how do you fix that? Because there's demand for lots of projects, infrastructure in the school system, pay for employees, of which, you know, the Vigo County School Corporation is one of the largest employers in the county. So how do you address this deficit spending?
Well, you have to approach it from a number of angles, Frank. First and foremost, and kind of still where we're at, is, you know, identifying where those leakages, why that is, and where those leakages are, and how you can tighten your budget without impacting the education and the programs. You know, for us, I think we were able to build that cash balance because historically we had seen a reduction in the number of staff that probably occurring 2010, 2011, 2012. But what we're seeing recently, and it's really because of the needs of safety, security, health, wellness, We've added employees back that have are tackling some very significant issues, not in the academic arena, but how do you help students prepare to enter into that classroom where they feel safe, where they feel secure, and that's where our spending has been. So right now, probably don't have the solutions ready to announce, but at least I think we have a great idea of why we're in the circumstance that we're in, and we will have to work with our community on what those solutions look like.
Something that kind of occurred to me while you were saying that, in the past few years, the school system here has been a little top-heavy when it comes to senior teachers, teachers with lots of seniority. A lot of those older teachers, more experienced teachers, have been eliminated through buyback programs, and now it's a younger system. But is that still an option maybe in the next year or two to maybe look at an early buyout for early retirements for some of the staff?
Yeah, I think you have to be very careful when you talk about those buyouts, especially in the age of a teacher shortage. You know, our ability to go out and find math teachers, science teachers. So very careful before we would talk about any additional buyouts, you know, to make sure that, boy, if you bought out that science teacher, is there a qualified applicant that's waiting in the wings ready to take over that position and do it as well as that veteran teacher that has left? But that's certainly a talking point and something that I'm sure we'll be investigating.
When this year's legislative session came to an end, how much help did you get or did you not get from the state legislature this year?
Well, first and foremost, what a difficult job it is to be a state representative, knowing that everybody is vying for dollars because of the number of issues, good or bad, that we find throughout our state. So glad I'm doing the job I'm doing and not the job that they're doing. We're always going to advocate for more financial support as we see schools as not just an economic engine, which we believe we are. We're the first step in workforce development. But also in those areas of character development, work ethic development, those other intangibles, and we're trying to tackle a lot of those. Probably if you were to ask from an administration standpoint, our funding is based upon a foundational funding, which all schools receive across the state of Indiana, and additional dollars that are called complexity index dollars. Those complexity index dollars really try to assist districts that have some unusual circumstances. Maybe it may be increasing poverty. Maybe it's an increasing increase in the number of English language learners that are coming into your district. Probably if I were to look at a disappointment, it is they are reducing the dollar amount in the complexity index formula, which ultimately speaks to programs and services that we can provide. When you couple that with a reduction in federal Title I funding, which is also designed to do the same thing, it then becomes kind of a piling on. So if there's one disappointment from an administration standpoint, it's that. If I look at just the overall field of education, there was something that came out that probably caught many off guard, and that is a requirement that for teachers renewing their license that they need to go out and find experience in workforce outside of education to be able to get your license renewed. We're all for teachers trying to find out what's happening in career college pathways. But to make that a requirement is a little bit of a disappointment. I think there's so much state pushback that I think that may be addressed in the next legislative session to see if that can't be amended.
Yeah, that requirement basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, as I understand it, and you really kind of need to be in the business to kind of get the full gist of this, but it's my understanding that you're requiring teachers, not you, but the state legislature, requiring teachers to actually go out and do a lot of unpaid work in order to be qualified for a renewal of their license. And in the private sector, if somebody asked us to work for free, we'd probably giggle and laugh and then walk away.
Yeah, in fact, I think it may even point to just some individual rights issues. Can you make that requirement? Usually you're exactly right. When you're asked to do any kind of labor, you're usually compensated for that in some way or some fashion.
You've got a new person coming on staff in the administration, a new communications person, Bill Riley. Will start, what, July 1st. For those who don't quite understand or know, what's his job going to be and why do we need him?
Yeah, when we went through our community listening sessions and fact-finding and when we surveyed staff, it became clear that our community wants greater external communication and our staff wants greater internal communication, both from just what's going on positively, what's going on that we need to improve upon, but also how do we know internally things that are happening not just in our schools but throughout the school district. We heard that over and over again. And so, like many schools our size, and you know, when you work with over 14,000 students, their parents, their grandparents, when you're the community's second largest employer, you'll see districts have a communications officer, and that's exactly what we've went out and done. And we're looking forward to Mr. Riley arriving in July to assist us in both of those endeavors, both the external communication and the internal.
And in all fairness and openness, thank you. I was serving on the committee that helped select him out of 30 different applicants. He is an outstanding choice. With that said, just because he's going to be in that position doesn't mean that we're not going to hear from you anymore, right?
No. in fact, hopefully you'll hear maybe more from me, but also from the people that really know the story of what's happening, great things that are happening in our buildings each and every day, hearing from teachers, hearing from custodians, bus drivers who have great experiences every day, building principals. So, maybe a little more of me, but hopefully a lot more of those storytellers that are found throughout our district.
One of the things that is probably going to come up to a lot of people's attention, they haven't thought about it yet. We've been talking about whether we're going to get a casino in Vigo County that finally made it through the legislature. Now, the next step, obviously, is to pass a referendum to get the voters of Vigo County to either decide yes, they want it, no, they don't. One of the things in that legislation was the fact is that the Vigo County School, if the casino is approved and if it's built and goes into business, the Vigo County School Corporation is going to get a slice of some of the revenue from that. The county, the city, and the school corporation stand in line to get a little bit of money. Any plans on, well, first of all, what you think you might get, and then secondly, what you might do with it if and when you do get it?
Frank, I think it's probably too early to make a guess in terms of what those revenue dollars would look like. But I think any new revenue, at least if we were making the decision right now, if we were given additional dollars, we would probably put it into safety, security, wellness, teacher compensation. So we have many areas that we can find for those dollars to flow into.
I don't think you'll ever find that you will not have a place to spend more money, right?
that is true. Over the course of time, the charge that's been put to the community schools, it grows every year. I don't ever think you see us shying away from that. We take on many challenges each and every day that go beyond just reading, writing, and arithmetic. But what is always hopeful is that those are not unfunded mandates, but funded mandates. So, yeah, there are plenty of ways that, valuable ways that would bring great value to our staff and to our students if we were able to get additional dollars.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, gee, we have too much money. We just don't know what to do with it.
I don't think I've ever heard that as well.
Yeah, okay. As I mentioned, referendum for the casino, one more thing I did want to touch on. I know you're busy and got to get going, but what are we going to do with schools? We've gone through interviews now with the school board on three different architectural firms. So the next step, what, is to pick a firm and then have them and the corporation, you, the administrators, get together with this firm that's selected and decide what do we do next, right?
Yeah, it's our hope to be able to announce a firm that will be assisting us in some fact-finding, some listening as it would relate specifically to our buildings. We hope to do that on June the 10th. Then, just as we did last fall, we'll re-engage our community with additional community sessions. The focus, though, will be more towards buildings and what's our hope and vision for that. And I think the earliest probably that we would bring a construction question to our community would be May of 2021. But that would give us enough time to make informed decisions because as the high schools have received the focus. Understand, we have 28 buildings across our district, all of which could need something in terms of construction, renovation, and assistance. So kind of resetting the course to not just be focused on the high schools, that's also the hope that we have for this architectural firm.
One other quick thing, too, is you talk about you want to get the community more involved in everything. You know, there's the old saying, too many cooks spoil the stew. When does all these groups and community input, everything, when does that get cumbersome and maybe get in the way of making a decision?
Well, I think it's all on your approach. I think for us, we find 2018, 2019 as a time of building strategic plans. And those strategic plans, I think the community schools belong to our community. So engaging those, that's our hope to announce that in January of 2020, that our committee work and all this involvement leads us to a guiding document. But you're exactly right, Frank. There's strategic planning and then there's action planning, things that have to happen in the here and now. One thing is the communications officer that you have, that we have talked about here today. We saw that as an action plan item for a number of reasons. One, it was maybe the second or third most mentioned item in our community meetings and in our staff surveys. But there's other issues when you talk about school funding. You know, we have 600 students that live in Vigo County that are choosing education elsewhere, either virtually, which I think that number is about 300, and then 300 students that are visiting on our neighbors. We think that that is as much a communication issue as it is a course offering issue. And so that falls into that action item. How do we begin telling our story and getting it out there in a number of different platforms? So items that are those action items, things that have to be done here and now, we're trying to approach those as rapidly as we can. But there are other things. The most talked about item was technology. You know, once you turn on the light, you continue to use lighting. As soon as we start turning on more technology, how are we going to do that? What's the funding source for being able to do that? That's something we see as more strategic.
Dr. Rob Hayworth, the superintendent of the Vigo County School Corporation, our guest today. School year is pretty much, for all intent and purposes, over with. Do you get a break over summer, too? Or
we hope to. You know, the central office stays open all year long. We're hiring new employees, doing everything we can to get ready for the next school year. But hopefully there's a week of vacation sometime in the future, at least. That's what Mrs. Hayworth and the Hayworth children are hoping for.
And what Mrs. Hayworth says is what happens.
It happens more times than you can imagine. So.
No, I believe it. I believe it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today. That wraps up this week's edition of Focus on Community. If you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, listen back to the entire program as a podcast. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.